I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is the John and Wayne Show. It's Tuesday. How we doing, Wayne? How's life, brother?
It's terrific Tuesday. Life's good, man. Life's real good, man. We got 30 days to the NFL draft. Life is good. It's lifing as it usually does. And I'm excited to be here, man, to talk football with you, man. It's weird when it's not during the season, off season. We got to put in some work.
it is funny because I was in Vegas this past weekend, I talked to everybody, made lots of new friends. It was great. But like whenever the conversation goes to, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh man, every time it's just like, I host a show, talk about the 49ers. And the questions are always the same. Oh, like that's your job? Yeah, that's my job. Like you record like once a week, like every single day. And they're like, what do you talk about? And I'm like, dude, there's so much to talk about. We cannot get to all that there is to talk about. And in the season, the 49ers give you what to talk about. In the off season, man, you got to work. You got to grind. And it's beautiful. I absolutely cannot believe this is what we do, Wayne. And I am thankful to do it with you. And I told my wife, I apologize to everybody. I was a little cranky on yesterday's show. That's not y'all's fault. That's my fault. Today is going to be a much more hope-filled podcast because we're looking to the future.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the 49ers' first four picks, pick 11, 43, 75, 99. Now, trades can always happen. But what are the perfect fits for Wayne, myself, for each one of those picks? Like, if you could roll the dice and be like, this guy is perfect, whether they drop there or not, we're talking about players in that range. But I'm hoping whenever you walk away from today, you've got 12 to 14 names that you're just going to be like, oh, okay, this is our second, third round, whatever. Mm-hmm. Really, really excited about that. So shout out to everybody, all the hashtag CCs, all the hashtag BBs, Jax, everybody. We appreciate you guys. Let's get started with number 11, Wayne.
Okay.
Who is your perfect pick 11 fit for the 49ers? If everything goes perfect, we get this player, you're a happy man.
Yeah, like if everything goes perfect, I understand that's the caveat. It's almost like it's not going to go perfect. So I'm trying to plan for the not so perfect, you know, pick so that it's still a perfect fit. I feel like the Niners, and I get a lot of flack. Man, I put out stuff. If I say we go corner, oh, we don't need a corner. If I say we go offensive tackle, oh, we don't need an offensive tackle. If I say we go defensive, oh, we don't need that one. Like, there's so many options for the 49ers at pick 11 to where I don't want them to mess this pick up. Like, you know what I'm saying? And let's just say all my top five guys are gone. That includes Aston Jeanty as one of my top five. Let's just say my top five guys are gone. And so, like, the Niners, we understand that they need to address every position. It's just not an offensive line or defensive line. It's the secondary. It's the safety. It's everything. Everything. Even kicker. But don't do it in the draft, right? We learned a lesson.
Yes.
But For me, the perfect fit would be Walter Nolan at 11 because I know Mason Graham is gone. And I don't care what anybody says. I feel like Walter Nolan is the second best defensive tackle in this draft, and it shows on tape. He's the best against the run. He's a great tackling defensive tackle. He's also great as a pass rushing defensive tackle. And I understand he may be slightly undersized, but I think that fits his game. Now, are there plays where he takes off and gets beat? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's the class you're dealing with. He's not a jumbo nose tackle, even though in 2024 he took reps. He played as a nose tackle on that old Mississippi all-star defensive line. But for me, it's that. And people may feel like it's a reach. Oh, we could have traded back. No. If that's your guy, he'd be the perfect fit for what the Niners need up front. And there's several defensive tackles there. But I think that's what you need to address first and foremost. Remember last year, John, I wanted Jerzon Newton. I understand he got injured or whatever. But that would have been, Byron Murphy, that when he went to Seattle. Both of those guys ended up being injured. But those would have been really good pieces. I feel like right now they got to go out there and just get the mean motherfucker out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Get a mean guy up front, man. That's just me. I think it would be Walter Nolan for me.
One of my favorite things about Walter Nolan is I think his ceiling is about as high as you're going to get, right? Number one ESPN player coming out of high school. Like, he has everything. I do like other players a little bit better at that spot, but if the 49ers walked out of this draft with Walter Nolan at 11, I'm free. I'm doing the whole Denzel. You know what I mean? Just like, we're okay. We're okay. We addressed a major need. You got better. You have the ceiling. You're talking a blue chip player at a priority position that fits your scheme. Check, 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 check. I would love that. I really, really would. And so, and I'm curious, for the people in the chat, go ahead and who is your pick at 11 that you're just like, this is the guy. If we walked away with this guy, I would be so happy. And try not to put Abdul Carter or Mason Graham, just because I don't think those are realistic options, but you do what you want to do. I would be very, very happy. And I know this has been my take from the start. My guy that I would really, really like, and keep in mind, back-to-back years, the number 11 pick was the third offensive tackle last year and the year before. That's just where the 11 pick goes. I would like to see that again. I know I'm a Longhorn. I know I'm biased, but I think he's great.
Kelvin Banks.
I'm going Kelvin Banks Jr. Yeah. I would be very happy with Walter Nolan. There's a lot of players I'd be happy with, but I just really, really want to see at some time in my life Brock Purdy to play behind a decent offensive line. I don't think that we've seen it yet. I would love to see what.
But
that
where would you play? Would you kick him into guard? Because
left
if
guard.
If Trent Williams is there, so you kick him in the left guard. All right, as long as he's making it, I'm all for the offensive lineman that will make an impact. I'm not drafting an offensive lineman if they're not going to be an impact player like day one. And so, like, you go back to last year, it ended up being Dominic Pooney. There was an injury at the position with John Feliciano. Pooney beat out everybody else. He got the spot impact, right? But this year, we do have a hole at the left guard position. Even though it's filled in, it's shaded in. Let's just say it's shaded in. It's not super filled in. We know we signed free agent. We got some guys in there. We brought back Ben Bartsch, right? He can play on the left side as well. So we'll see what happens. Spencer Burford might get that role as well. We'll see what happens. But as long as Kelvin Banks, which is my number two offensive tackle in this draft.
Me as well.
Number two. Because you're talking about best in run blocking, best in pass protection, and then a little bit of versatility. I love Armon Membu, but can he finish? And that's the biggest question. Will he finish these drives? Will he finish the plays out there? Great ceiling, but he might be some work. And he only plays on one side of the offensive line. Will Campbell as well. Like, I think he's probably the best pass protecting guy out there. Film ready, looking ready to play in the NFL. But still, like, I feel like he's just a left tackle. That's it. That's it. And so we have that position. So I actually love the Kelvin Banks. And, you know, I just want to put this out there. My number one player in a skill in a position on the defensive side is Jahai Campbell. Now, I don't know how much of the injury would affect him because he did have the surgery, if I'm not mistaken, and he didn't participate in his pro day. We did see him at the combine, so we're good on those numbers. But Jahai Campbell is the best off-ball linebacker in this draft. And I don't know why we're going back and forth between him and Jaylen Walker. Like, I really don't get it. Because when you put on the film, It's night and day. It's not even close. So it's either Campbell or it's either the second best defensive tackle in the draft for me, or the second best offensive tackle. Or you have him as your number one, right, Banks?
No, I have Mimbu one, Banks two.
Yeah, there you go. Campbell and then Campbell three. Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
And again, remember, what did they ask Kelvin Banks? They asked him at the combine, did you meet with the 49ers? Yes.
Yes.
What did they ask you about position to play? They asked me if I play right tackle. Like, so understand, I am moving forward with the premise of Banks or whoever, if you could draft an offensive lineman, would start at left guard. And then Colton McKivitz, last year of his deal. And Trent Williams, how much longer is that guy? You're not going to need one tackle. You're going to need two in the very near future. So you get your instant impact, and then he moves to right tackle or left tackle. You see what he can work with. That's the way I see it. And right here, Tony, when was the last time left guard was drafted at 11? The past two drafts with Peter Skoronski and Fashanu. Both of them are tackles now. Yeah. So, like, literally, the last 2 years, that is exactly what happened, where you draft these guys, put them in immediate impact spots to bloom into and develop into that tackle position. This is the 11th pick now. And so, like, I get it, and I know a lot of people are out on Banks, and that's okay. And we're getting a lot of Jahad Campbell, which makes me really, really, really happy.
I mean, he's just the best at the position, right? And so, like, listen, there's several linebackers we could get in here. Like, there's several linebackers you could look to draft. But when I look at a 6'3 safety linebacker, I mean, just think about it. Like, you're looking at a guy that can play coverage. You're looking at a guy that can rush the passer. You're looking at a guy that can play the mic if need be, wear the green dot on his helmet. But where would he be best? Where did he play last year? On the weak side. And who do you replace? Who are you trying to replace? For me, it's Dre Greenlaw. Now, I don't think he'll have the same impact as Dre Greenlaw because he's a different type of a player. Dre Greenlaw is a little bit more fired up, but as far as smart, as far as being in the right spot at the right time, as far as knowing when to drop back, as far as using his eyes to trick the quarterback, that's what Campbell does. And he has the speed and the athleticism to kind of back it up, so he's rangy. So I see a lot of Jahad Campbell's in here, and you listen. Here's the thing. Whenever I mock draft him, why do y'all give me so much fucking trash? I don't get it.
The injury is where I get the pushback from. But again, you know, we'll have to see. He had the surgery.
He did.
I've got a torn rotator cuff right now.
Really?
No, it's labrum. It's a labrum.
Has the labrum. Right.
But I don't know, man. Yeah. I'm not overly concerned.
For anybody that doesn't believe in the Jahad Campbell, and I know I'm not trying to sell him, but he's a first round pick. Just go watch the championship game between him and Michigan. And I'm a Michigan fan. And we won. Don't get it twisted. But that motherfucker was a motor boat out on the football field. He made every play. In pass coverage and run. Every play.
He's number eight on my big board. He's number
eight. That's dope. Woo, that's high. Like, I love it.
But that's this draft, okay? So, like, look, here's the problem with this draft, or maybe it's not the problem. There are no clear-cut top 10 guys outside of, like, three. Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, right?
Yes, sir.
Premium position.
I think Genty is there, too, though.
Right, like, but he's a running back. So, like,
right. No, I get you. I get what you're saying. I got you.
He should go top 10, and I think he will.
But he won't. I don't think he is.
You don't think he's
going top 10? Nah, because if I'm the Raiders, that would be – the Raiders and the Bears is where I would have him going. If I'm one of those teams, I'm going to be like, maybe we could kind of wait to the second round. I don't really see another team taking a running back. Maybe, listen, it's tricky because if he falls, there's going to be a team that's going to jump
about
up.
Chicago at 10?
I think Chicago – that Ben Johnson and Ashton Jeanty, what?
Yeah. He spent everything on free agency. He's got
You built the offensive line, right? It makes perfect sense. Yeah. Which
I
would be good because
Vegas,
we want him off the board. Right. We want him off the board so other players can fall. That's why we're having this conversation for those who are like, well, why are y'all talking about Jeanty? The Niners aren't getting him. This is not about us getting him. First of all, I need those two quarterbacks to go 1 and 2. I need the Giants to fuck up, right? And then I need the rest of the players to kind of like get plucked, right? That's where I'm thinking.
But Okay, so back to I want to touch on this a little bit more because I think a lot of times people are like, no, you can't do that at 11. But whenever you look at this draft, they're like, okay, Abdul Carter, Travis Henning, Mason Graham, Ashton Jeanty. Then Armon Mimbu for me, but he's cleaner than a premium top five pick. Like, I don't think Armon Mimbu would be a top five pick in many drafts, but he has no issues. You know what you're getting. He's safe. He's a double, athleticism, character, build, whatever. Like, then it's like,
okay. Ceiling, you name it. Like, that's a good guy. But do the Niners need to go that route that early?
Yeah, that's...
When you need it, how much of an... My question is, will he be an impact year one? Because if he's a tackle and he can't be kicked in the guard, that's the issue.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with any of the big three linemen. Mimbu, I'm fine kicking him into guard.
Campbell, too. And
Campbell and Banks. But I don't think you draft him as a guard. Like, people you don't draft a guard at 11. They're not guards. They asked him if he could play right tackle. They're asking him if he's a tackle. They met with all of these guys, by the way, and Josh Simmons. They met with all four of, like, no, did they meet with Will Campbell?
I believe...
I got to open up Steph's sheet over here because she always, I always, whenever I'm wrong, I always go over. They met with Josh Simmons. They met with Will Campbell. They met with Kelvin Banks, Josh Connerly, and Armon Mimbu. Literally the only five tackles that are going in the first round, they met with all of them. They met with all of them. And so I'm just telling you, like, I'm not drafting Banks or Will Campbell or Armon Mimbu as a tackle year one. I think they're going to draft him as a guard. And then develop into that. I think that's just what they do. We got a couple super chats here. Silent, appreciate you. Last year showed that DCs know the Shanahan O better than his own players did. What will it take for Shanahan to really change or innovate his offense? First, I want to say this. I think that there were a lot of changes to the Shanahan offense last year. You're throwing the ball deep. You're changing kind of what you're doing against man and all those things. A little bit different. The issue with the running back position being such a liability last year where they couldn't use it the way they wanted to and why Shanahan kind of abandoned that, I thought that was an issue. I do not have an issue with the Shanahan offensive scheme personally. What are your thoughts on this question with Shanahan and the offense adapting?
It's a great question, Silent. It's tough because if you watch my shows, I was always blaming the execution. And so it really wasn't the scheme. I guess my thing for Shanahan was like, well, if the players can't execute it, switch it up, find something easy for them to do. Cause it was, and he did, he tried. He was heavily dosing Debo, but the teams knew it. Right. And so the defenses knew, oh, Debo's here. Oh, he's here. And so, like, when you're missing certain pieces for Kyle Shanahan's offense, like the pieces that move around, let's just talk about that. And the thing about the interchangeable pieces for Kyle Shanahan, he does it with all of his pieces, whether it's George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Debo Samuel. I think Ayuk was pretty much a steadfast. You knew he's going to line up in the X, right? But a lot of his pieces are interchangeable, and those motions really meant something, and they tried to get the defense to kind of like off their kilter a little bit. I just felt like between trust and Kyle Shanahan's players not being able to execute a lot, I think that's why the offense was very stagnant. But we have to add in the simple fact that we went deep a lot last year, something that we haven't seen in a Kyle Shanahan's offense ever, right? And so that's a new wrinkle. And so now this year, if you get Christian McCaffrey back healthy, you add in some of the play action, the deep passing down the field, it's going to get back to what we saw, explosive. And there were way more explosive plays this year than it was in any year of Kyle Shanahan. So I think Brock Purdy and explosiveness is crazy. Trust me, I do on my Patreon. I cover explosive plays every freaking week. It was explosive, explosives in the air, right? And so I think you get that back with the new wrinkles. So the question is, how many new pieces are we going to add? And can Ricky Pearsall take a step up? Does Jacob Cowing learn how to block better? Like, things like that. So we'll see. I think that the offense will get back in sync. Especially since the defense is going to be ran by a real coordinator.
And, like, again, whenever you talk Shanahan and innovation, understand he's different than the other coaches, okay? McDaniel's going to draw up a brand new thing that's never happened before. McVay's going to adapt to his personnel like nobody's ever done before. Shanahan has all of the answers to the test built into the play structure already. The problem was, you talked about how many explosives we had last year in offense. We had so many negatives as well. You had three horrible offensive linemen. Really, I want to say two. Aaron Banks and Jake Brendel were god-awful. Colton McKivitz had some rough ones, but he's paying past his pay grade. The other two I do not believe to be so. Eric Saubert was awful. You could not run the outside zone scheme when Isaac Grinder was in there because he just can't run the outside zone yet. And you didn't trust Jordan Mason to check the ball down. So you were dealing with a lot of issues where he was kind of hamstrung. I have all the faith in the world that Shanahan's play structure is fine because the thing I go back to, Shanahan's not the type of guy that's like, oh, we're going to invent a new play. That's not what he does. What he does is, okay, here's our outside zone. Oh, they're over pursuing. Okay, we're going to hit the cutback. Oh, they're over pursuing. We're going to boot. Oh, they're under pursuing and they're trying to force us to the edge. Well, we got to put our speed back in. Everything has the answers built in. And this has been something that has worked for 4 decades now in the NFL. And I don't think that that is going to stop. So like the idea that you've got a water boy bring out the magic notebook, I don't think that that is the Shanahan way. I really, really don't. Some coaches, that's what they live and die by. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. Shanahan's offense is still going to be just fine. You just have to get some decent offensive line play and stop the negatives, the penalties, the holds, pass interference, sacks, Jake Brendel turnaround, watching people get destroyed. I think those are the answers. So can Shanahan address those things? That's what I want to see. Oscar, my man, the wild man. Appreciate the super chat, your generosity. Would you guys be opposed to drafting not one, not two, but three sitters? Making them all your interior offensive linemen, right guard, center, left guard. For example, Jared Wilson, Seth McLaughlin, Jonna Monheim. Then put Pooney at right tackle. Wayne, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I would oppose this. And those are some athletic offensive linemen, though, especially at the center position. And you know how much I love Jared Wilson. It's funny because I just don't think the 49ers are going to draft more than two offensive linemen in this draft. I feel like that's their line. They'll draft one early, they'll find a steal later, and then boom, those will be your offensive linemen. But I think one of these guys may be one of the guys they draft. I really love Jarrett Wilson. I'm hoping they can find a way to get him here. I think he would be the perfect future fit at the center position for the 49ers. I don't think those guys would play guard in the NFL. Like I don't think they took many reps as guard on the collegiate level, but athleticism is what we're missing, right? We're missing that and the good 10-yard splits and 20-yard shuttle times. Like, hey, we need guys that can move. I feel like our offensive line is way too stiff, and it hinders Brock Purdy from doing things. So we got to get more loose up there with the offensive line, and that's why we got to go younger. So I think we get two, probably max.
Yeah, one tackle, one interior guy. Hopefully, yeah, you just get somebody that can play center. I doubt. And again, it does seem like you allowed all the centers to leave in free agency and not even take a swipe at one, even though there were bargain centers out there. But that's okay. They chose not to go that route. So it does seem like it's going to be Matt Hennessy and Jake Brendel. Maybe you infuse a little bit of a rookie there, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's go on to round number two, pick 43. Wayne, who is your perfect pairing, perfect fit for the 49ers at pick 43 if they don't trade?
I think this is where I look to address the offensive line, right? Ooh. I know we went offensive line last year in the third round, but if Josh Connerly falls.
You're a big Connerly guy.
If he falls to round two at pick 43, like I'm all in, all right? Because now you got your future left tackle. And this is a guy that I feel like can get stronger working out with Trent, can get better just being in the system and the NFL system, especially a 49ers one. I think he would be the perfect fit for the 49ers at pick 43 if he falls. There's probably going to be a team that's going to reach for him in the first round. He does have first round talent. I'm not sure if that's going to supersede depending on how positions are drafted. But if he falls to 43 and he's there, I think you that's your trench player. That's a guy you could get in the trenches, and that's a high prospect for me. I thought he had a great Senior Bowl. I thought he had one bad moment, okay, against Mike Green when he was lined up on the opposite side. He just needs to figure out a way to get stronger. He struggles a little bit in his anchor, but that's based off of strength and technique. I think he can learn that on the NFL level. So I don't mind. I think 43 would be a good place for Josh Connerly.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I'm gonna go defense, and I'm gonna go out of where I usually go.
This is funny because we're opposite here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go corner. I think the 49ers so value that's, corner okay. so much.
Okay.
And I think this guy goes to the back end of the first, very similar to what you said with Josh Connerly, but this is who I want. The 49ers met with this corner. 6'1", 195, Trey Amos.
Oh, from Ole Miss. Yes.
I really like his tape. Yeah. I really like
he's
what
a dog
brings.
Too.
Yeah, and so I think he'd be a perfect pairing outside corner. And so early on, he comes in whenever they're in 11 personnel, and Demo kicks to the inside. Like, Demo's going to do that. And so now you've got three young corners. I personally, whenever I look at this roster, I really thought they'd add a third corner in free agency that would be that guy. I like Trey Brown, but that dude's not getting paid anything. So, like, that, I don't think he's the number three. They've met with 15 corners so far, Wayne. 15.
Yeah, I like several corners.
There's a lot
this,
here.
In this draft. They did talk about going speed. So I'm curious to know your thoughts on Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky. But go to his 2023 film. I can bypass 2024. I thought 2024 was a weird year for corners, period. Like, because it was just Travis Hunter season, right? Like, Travis Hunter. But if you go back to that 2023 season, that kid was a lock. And so do the Niners look to go that route? They did talk about going speed. I'm just curious. And there's a possibility he's available. You know, I like Darian Porter out of Iowa State. Big guy. Does struggle with tackling, but he's fast. He can cover. You can't throw on him. 6'3", 4'3", can't throw on him.
He's a freak, man. He's a freak. I like Maxwell Harrison, one of the fastest players in the draft period. It's funny because Trey Amos is fast, right? 4.43, whatever else. A little bit slow acceleration, but he's longer, and so that's why he's going to be an outside guy. He had a 10-yard split. Now you go to Maxwell Harrison, 1.50. Literally a full tenth full of a second off the 10-yard split. Like, you're talking lightning in a bottle. So I think he's damn good. I don't think Maxwell Harrison makes it out of the first round.
Because of the speed?
He's just got too many elite traits. Now, the shoulder issue can make him fall.
Yes, that's why.
And so that's the question there. But for a pure outside corner, I want the length. I want the dog. Not that Maxwell Harrison's not that. I'm not saying that. But part of me thinks, you know, whenever you look at the tackling grade for Maxwell, I'm not sure that's the Niners' fit. He has a 38.1 tackling grade, 27% missed tackle rate. He's smaller, but the elite speed.
But that was for 2024, though, right? Correct. What was his tackling grade in 2023? I'm sure it was a lot higher. He played a full season that year, too, and he should have came out that year. That would have been the year he should have came out. That's his best year. He bet on himself. And unfortunately ended up with a shoulder injury, and it just hindered him. A lot of these DBs, like Ben Morrison from Notre Dame, Will Johnson from Michigan, all these guys can fall to round two. So let me just guess.
Got the answer for you real quick before you jump on. Maxwell Harrison, his tackling grade in 2023 was 83.8. His missed tackle rate was 8%.
I'm trying to get you to understand,
the shoulder.
Bro.
It was the shoulder.
I'm trying to get you to understand. Him working out was the best thing for him because it showed that he has the athleticism. If you go back and put on the film if you go back, John, and watch these three players' films, I'll give you four cornerback film players to watch, right? Will Johnson from Michigan, Suvon Revell from East Carolina, Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky, and there was one more, and I felt like it just slipped my – oh, Ben Morrison from Notre Dame. If you go back and watch the 2023 film, this makes it harder to select.
And that's why I think I'm a little bit lower on Will Johnson. Now, we start talking second round. Now I'm like, okay, Maxwell Harrison. Yeah, bad 2024 injury, you know, whatever. But once you get to pick 43, that's where those players go.
Ah.
So Will Johnson, I love.
If he falls to 43, John, and he's on the board, I'm taking him over Trey Amos. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I have a first round.
That's a solid guy. That's a solid guy. Big, 6'2". We just don't know what his top end speed is until his private workout. But if he runs a 4.4 or less, he's going back into the first
round. Actually, I want to divert this. What are your thoughts on guys like Cam Scadaboo, Will Johnson?
I love you.
Still
man.
Have not run. Like these guys, talking months after football is done, they still can't run.
So Will Johnson does have a private workout schedule, so he's going
Same
to
with
run.
Cam Scadaboo. Yes.
Okay, so I'm not worried about that if they have a private workout and they're going to set to run. We waited on Tet McMillan, and he proved everybody wrong. Everybody thought he was going to be run a slow 40, ran a 4.4. So at the end of the day, I'm kind of betting on the player. I think they're going to get it right. They know their bodies. They know what they can do. And when they run, this is a great question because I know Xavier Restrepo didn't think he ran a 4.8. Something had to be wrong with those stop clocks, right?
It looked slow, man.
But on film, he doesn't look slow.
And he just can't get past third gear, though.
Like, that's fine. He's not an X.
Gear, then it just stalls out.
But he's not an X. I said he's not an X. I've said this. If you watch my film evaluations, he's not an X. He is a slot guy that can get open quick.
Where? I have a seventh round grade on. I had
that's fine. That's
a
fine.
Fourth, but I was expected four high 4.6s.
I think
that's the slowest ever.
I still think he's a third to fourth round pick. Somebody's going to value him in the slot, and he's going to be a machine.
We've seen Jarvis Landry. We've seen guys, you know, Anquan Boldin's a little bit different because he was so physical.
He's and different build, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was freaking. That's Mike Tyson running around on the outside.
I'd have ran away from him. Like,
oh, my God. I love
But no,
I love
that's a great question because now we're talking about getting value players. And I got another player I'll throw out there. I know he's coming off this injury. We're still in the second round, right?
Sure. Yeah.
If Josh Simmons falls to 43. I'm drafting Josh Simmons.
It's enough there. It's enough there. Because the issues at 11, I understand. The issues at 43, totally different. Totally different. Trent Baalke has entered the chat, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just saying, if I had to pick between him and Josh Connerly, because I picked the offensive lineman for my second round pick, it's Josh Simmons. Because I'm prepared to have him not play this season, or I'm prepared to start him on the NFI, right? I'm prepared to let him NFL heal, right? Give him time. And I got guys. We got this. We could roll up the same fucking offensive line that we had last year and probably be damn well okay. We get some of these skill players back, right? I want to be better, but I think we'll be fine. It'll be serviceable. And I think this year, Brock be like, yo, my offensive line sucks, but I figured out how to play with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So if you could get a Josh Simmons, though, because in my opinion – I know Kelvin Banks is the dude, but Josh Simmons would be the best offensive tackle if he didn't get injured.
He'd be offensive above lineman. He'd be top five guaranteed.
Yeah.
His tape is too damn good. It's so freaking good.
I'm just saying.
Oh,
so this is good. You went offensive line. I went defensive line. You went defensive. Where did you just go?
Corner. I went.
You went corner here, and I went offensive line. All right, let's get to round three. We got two picks.
Oh, we got two more picks and some super chats. I'm excited. But if you're coming to the draft, you got to come out with us. I am so excited. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is heading into year six. We started back in 2019, and we're coming home to the Bay Area. For the draft, we're going to be live downtown in the North Beach area at the historic Broadway Studios for day one and day two of the NFL draft. So come join us. We're going to join the faithful live broadcast of draft picks as they are coming in live time with full TVs. We got big screens. We've got trivia. We've got giveaways and much, much more. Doors will open one hour before the draft starts on both days. And if you're coming from work, no worries. If your ticket, you buy your ticket, automatic guaranteed entrance, show up whenever you can. Kids get in free. And if you are struggling trying to get your youngsters to be more on board with the 49ers or the draft or whatever, bring them out to an event. They get in free with a ticketed adult, and we make sure our entire team knows kids come first. Every single youngster leaves with something tangible that they can tie to this experience. Come give it a shot. Tickets are currently only $20 for each day. That's it. We're not trying to make a lot of money on this. We're just trying to build a wonderful experience. So go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets today for day one and day two of the NFL draft. Prices will go up, but with where they are right now, just $20 a piece and kids get in free. Join us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, shout out to Silent, another super chat. And we're going to add this to the end of the show, but I want to let you know that now. He says, we have a lot of top 100 players, but we have 3 7th round picks. Who are your top 3 sleepers that you would like in the final round? We're going to answer that at the end of the show. So, Wayne, don't let me forget that one. But let's keep going kind of chronological order. I need some time to think on that one. Appreciate the super chat. Pick 75. We're in the third round. Who is your kind of perfect pairing? A guy or two that you're just like, I really want this player at pick 75.
Yeah, I need the linebacker. Like at this point, if Chris Paul Jr. is available from Ole Miss, I don't like Ole Miss, but I like their players. So if I see him there, I'll probably get him. I do love Jeffrey Bosa. I think my issue with Bosa though is going to be more. He hit the tackling, so a little small things, and he is a little undersized as a linebacker. He's probably one of the best, great at covering, but I want the overall linebacker, and I know that the Niners, I mean, Fred Warner is the mic right now. Chris Poole can play the mic, but he can also play weak side or strong side, wherever you need him. So it's Chris Poole Paul for me. And he can also rush the passer, so you could use him at the line of scrimmage. He could blitz. I understand he ran with like a 4.5, 4.44, 4.5 or something like that.
Chris Paul had a 4.6340. Yeah.
So 4.6. So he's not super fast guy. That's fine. But off the edge, if you blitzing him, he can probably get to the corner, to get to the quarterback, you know, depending on where you use him. But I really do like Chris Poole Paul Jr. Great tackler, great mental guy too out there on the football field. And he's just a physical guy, man. I like the physicality of. I want the linebackers back. He's an old school linebacker, by the way.
Oh yeah, and the Niners need him. Question is, where do you rank? Do you have him ahead of Carson Swisinger?
I believe Swisinger, or whatever you say his name. I think he's going to be gone.
I do too. What about Demetrius Knight? Same.
Gone.
Yeah.
Right. So we're in round three, right? So these guys are gone to me. But I'm thinking of guys that'll still be available in round three. Barrett Carter, maybe from Clemson. Good sideline to sideline speed. These are some extra options for you guys. But Barrett Carter, who did I miss? And then Jeffrey Bosa. I think these are guys you can get in round three.
Yeah, and this is a horrible linebacker class. So I have a top end fourth round on Paul. But if you want him, you got to get him in the third.
Yeah.
You saw linebackers get overpaid all free agency. There's just not enough to go around. So I love that. I hate that everybody knows me. I've talked about this too much. My guy's Harold Fannin Jr.
I think he drops.
I think he does too, and I think he drops to the third. I have a second round grade on him. I just think that dude is a freak. He has some traits that are just, Juwan Jennings-esque. Like, you can't measure it.
I feel like he has. Can I add to your...
Oh, break! You can tear it to shreds. Or
so he's my next pick in the third round. So
you had him at 99.
Yes. That's why I said I think he drops, which is fine, which is great because you're going to get to me. I would say the third best tight end in the draft, but if you're talking about versatility, he's the best.
Like he's my number three as well.
He's the best, right? And so like you got Colston Loveland, Tyler Warren. Him, I got probably Warren, Loveland, him, right? But as far as versatility, I like him. I don't care about his height. I don't care about his speed. What I love about him is his ability to make plays. And sometimes you just need dogs, right? And when you look at Juwan Jennings, does he have the speed, John? No. He just has the will to enforce his will on other players, and that's what I like about Harold Fannin. So he would be my 99th or 100th. I think it's pick 100 now. He would be my 100th pick in the draft for me, and this would be a steal because now the Niners get a versatile weapon, okay? Not just a tight end. They get a versatile weapon. Great in run blocking. Can get better in pass pro, but steal because you can line them up anywhere. Backfield, outside, in line, slot, you name it. Like, this is what we need. And especially moving on from a guy like Debo. No, he doesn't have Debo's speed, but one thing he doesn't do is drop a lot of passes. And he had, what was he, most productive tight end in college football, 1,300-plus yards, almost 1,400 yards as a tight end. And he's already kind of, like, in line, depending on where he's going. If you got a George Kittle, this kid will feast.
It's perfect.
It's the perfect fit. Yeah, this is what the show is about, right? Perfect fits. Oh.
And I love all these kids. Like, this is Vince. This was at 10:32. So Vince had this way before we they know me. I talk about him all. Daryl. Yeah, the 49ers should draft Harold Fannin. He seems like a 49ers. They met with him. He's 20 years old. The production's off the chart. He's mean as hell. He does everything. He blocks like crazy. I freaking love this dude. And so I think it's a perfect match with the tight end that you just signed. All right. Farrell. They're tight ends. They're completely different body types, skill positions. Like, this is a match, right? Like, he would be the tight end three, could do some fullback stuff. I freaking love it, man. I freaking love it. So Harold Fannin Jr., he's definitely one of my. Now, I stole yours. So Wayne, you've been crushing it and you're the top 100 guy. Can you give us another pick at 75? You went Chris Poupal. I went Harold Fannin. Give me another guy. And if you don't have one, I'll go, but
At 75, or are we going to 100? Because I gave you my 100. Okay, another 75 player. All right.
Because the third round's my favorite. It's my favorite. Every time we get to the third round, I'm just like, I love all of them. It's like Pokemon. I got to have them all.
So I have a guy. Now, I don't know where you have him ranked, but I would love for the 49ers to draft this guy because I think he would fit. He would be a perfect fit for the 49ers defensively. I'm sorry I'm high on defense this year, but pardon me. But if you can get Andrew Mukuba at 75, it might seem like a reach in mock drafting, but it won't be a reach in real life. And let me just explain.
What? He's my 99. He's my 99. You had Harold Fannin. We flipped him.
If you could get a Mukuba, you can call him a ball hawk, man. He's got the interceptions to back it up. But you talk about a violent, feel like that's where they're trying to go. Like, they get another violent play breakdown player and Andrew Mukuba. I mean, he diagnoses the plays like another. He knows when it's a pass, he knows when it's a run. He's there, boom, boom, boom. I think it would be interchangeable to have him, Mustafa, and Jair Brown in his third year. And so I really like the way the kid plays. I think he ran a 4.4. He's got speed. The athleticism is through the roof. And he can hit. I mean, hit. And he's little. Oh, he's not afraid of contact. And so he's great against the run, right? So he's not afraid. And I like the Thunder. And my comp for him is C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'm sorry. Like, I can't help it. He's a power pack player with a lot of bite. Not a bark. Bite. We're not talking about we're talking bite. Love this kid.
Watch him lay out that running quarterback.
Listen, bro.
In the playoff game. Like, oh my God.
And no flags, right? No flag.
He's smart as hell. And right here, West Coast offense says we aren't drafted to safety. The 49ers have met with two safeties. One of their top 30 visits, Andrew Mukuba. So the 49ers took an official meeting with this kid. He's on their radar. He's a perfect fit. He is a perfect. This dude, I would bet the farm
this
that
has
the
49ers
have a gold helmet thing on Andrew.
It's got to be a John Lynch guy. Like, he coming out of college, he's better than him. He's better than Mustafa.
I agree with that. You have Mustafa in the fourth.
Yeah, but coming out of college, he'd be better. He's better in pass coverage.
He doesn't have the frame, the body build, obviously.
No. But he plays like he does. And that's my point. So he's violent. I think that's what we're missing. We're missing guys that used to knock cats off. I'm sorry, man. Take me back to the Ronnie Lott days. Take me back to the Deshaun Golson and Dante Hittner days. I mean, those are the days where we knocked cats out. Take me back to those days, man.
A 12.1 QBR allowed from a safety. 12.1. He's a pass. Like, there's no holes in his game, just outside of his frame. But if Buda Baker was one of the players I was highest on, you know, I do my like draft so and so, no matter what, the draft day post-it note or whatever.
Yes,
mine was Buda Baker that year. I think I had him as my 12th overall player.
Love Buda Baker.
I was way too high. This is Buda Baker. Okay, you said C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Like, same.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Buda has more of the cognitive ability. He's the smarter guy. He's a smarter player.
Man, so we have taken both of our 99s. So let's see. Do you have anybody left at 99? Then we'll get to some seventh rounders.
Nah, I mean, I mean, you got some studs. I think we got some really studs at those picks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm lying. I would not mind taking a running back here, though.
DJ Giddens. Tell me you like DJ Giddens. Tell me you like
him. I do. But it's not the guy. Okay. Like, there's no way Caleb Johnson falls this far, right?
He's slow, but I can't see it. I have a third round grade on him. I had a second round grade,
but just know, like, he falls this far, right?
Not to 99. He
ran a 4.5, right? Like, he's not that slow.
He's not that well. He's one of the. I think it was the slowest.
No, he's not the slowest. He's definitely not the slowest, right?
He ran a 4.57.
Yeah,
and so whenever you do so, like I did the slowest 40 and the fastest 40 at the running back position, right?
Yeah.
And so then I give the slowest 1 a 1 grade. I get the fastest 1 a 10 grade. He was a 2.
Okay.
He was barely.
I don't care
above
about his speed because I'm.
That's not how he wins.
That's not how he wins. Oh, but the funny thing is, he has the breakaway speed because I watched him run away from guys and they couldn't catch him. But then there was times I watched him get caught after a 50-yard run, right? Like, so he just doesn't have the 4.3 speed, but he has the vision. But I don't think he falls here. My second guy, though, who's probably slow too. Devin Neal out of Kansas, bro.
Oh, you are big on Devin Neal.
Yo, that kid's a big running back that can catch and run. Like, the vision, the cuts, outside zone, inside power. Like, what do you want? It's balance. I feel like the Niners run best when it's guys like Christian McCaffrey. I love Jordan Mason just like you did. You probably love him a little bit more, but he wasn't outside. He was an outside guy. And as much as I love Isaac Guerrero from last year, until he learns those cut lanes, learn to run outside the tackle's hip or cut back inside, he's going to struggle. And that's fine because he didn't play that way in college. He was a power guy. I think in this draft, Bobby Turner gets those guys with the vision. And those two guys I named, DJ Giddens is another one. So, like, it's Caleb. DJ. It's Caleb for me, right? And then I start trickling it down to, like, the Caleb, Devin Neal, Giddens. I think the kid from Tennessee is going to be gone. Dylan Sampson. He's a little shorter, a little smaller in build and frame. And I also like Jarquez Hunter.
I'm huge on
Auburn, yeah. Yo. Like, he averages 6.2 yards per carry. And I'm sorry, the numbers that I look for are the yards after contact. What are the average yards after the contact? How many extra yards he getting you after he get hit? That's what I'm looking for. Good center balance. That's what I'm looking for running backs this year. I'm not looking
There's
for
a
speed.
Lot of them.
We got speed last year.
Yeah, you got big body speed. And that's the thing. They keep going after these big bodied running backs. Like,
bro, because they got to be durable, bro. The Niners running backs get hurt more than any running backs in the league. And we be having
Shanahan staple, baby. You remember that 1 year we had 5 running backs?
We had
5. Week 1?
Bro, it is ridiculous, bro.
Jeff Wilson got hurt getting up out of a chair at a team meeting.
He popped his Achilles standing up off. I think got up off a stool. Chair, yeah. Stool, you name it. Bro, we got to get more durable. I like the kids coming out of college. I think, though, once you get past that fourth round, now you got to look for specific traits. Are you looking for speed? Are you looking for some things? I think it gets a little bit harder when you get in around. Unless a guy drops. I do like Giddens, though, from Kansas State. I'm sorry. I do like Giddens.
I like Giddens because he's one of the rare top-end speed guys with vision.
Yes.
Like, I want vision. After watching so much Guerrero, I want freaking vision.
It's vision. It's the vision.
Sorry, I always negative to Guerrero. He's great. He's great. I'm excited to see what he's
doing. It's the vision. ATN is good, too. Trevor from Georgia, not bad. You know what? I didn't like Giddens' pro day. Now, we could blame the quarterback. the quarterbacks might have been trash. Oh,
keep going. Keep going on this.
But the quarterbacks were throwing everybody else good. He just couldn't catch the ball. Like, he couldn't catch up to the ball or whatever. I don't know. I just didn't like his pro day on his routes.
Interesting. I like that. I mean,
he might have had a good pro day, but route running wasn't good. That's what I mean. Everything else might have been great.
Five drops on 30 passes in his career. So that is decent.
Again, it's not his quarterback throwing, right? It's younger guys from his school, right, that are probably going to be taking over this year. That could have been, but the other guys were catching. They were.
All right, now we're going to wrap up this show with some seventh round pick flyers that you just love that have dropped for one reason or another. Right after this. If you're serious about sports betting, you need a sports book that actually works for you. And that's why I use MyBookie. I've been working with them for over 5 years now. And MyBookie, you're in control. Better odds, better wins, less hassle than other guys, with the biggest selection of player bets and prop bets. Early cash out options, live betting lets you jump in at any time. So if you miss it before tip-off or game time starts, guess what? You get to play your way. Whether you're locking in picks pregame, riding the action live, MyBookie makes sure you always have access to the action. It's not just sports. MyBookie hosts the party that never ends with full-fledged casino. They've got everything from blackjack, roulette, video poker, slots, you name it. So if you're new to MyBookie, sign up now with promo code 49ERS or use this QR code next to me. Get a deposit bonus up to $2,000. Remember, gambling's a marathon, not a sprint, and it's all about building up your funds over time. Don't settle for second-rate book. Bet smarter, win bigger, only at MyBookie. All right, couple updates. I just saw this on Twitter as well. Alfred Collins, the Texas defensive tackle I have a second-round grade on, has a boot on his left foot.
Yeah.
Did not do all the stuff at the combine. He did work out at the combine, but he didn't do like the 40 and the testing stuff. So that is definitely something to pay attention to. Could be another guy with an injury designation. I have no clue what happened, but Texas Pro Day is about to start. He's got a boot on his foot. That's huge, because if he falls to day three, oh, good Lord. I'm happy taking him in the second round. But
Big run stuffer. Big body up front.
If you love Kenneth Grant, you'll love Alfred Collins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I already know where that's coming from.
So, Silent, let's get back to his super chat. I love this. We've heard a lot about the top 100 players. That's Wayne thing. He's the best at it. Give us some seventh round guys, some flyers that, hey, if all kind of goes crazy, what are some guys? We got three picks in the seventh round now. Is there anybody that you're like, man, let's take a flyer on this guy here?
Yeah, I like this tight end, the tight end from Iowa, Luke Lachey.
Yeah.
And I like the injury down season, totally get it. But he did come back and have one of those Iowa tight end type of seasons. You want to get a guy that can route, that can catch, and that can yak. Yak is a thing now too, by the way. So like, if you want to get a guy that can do those things coming off the injury. So like, I feel like going into the NFL, he would be so much more confident, you know, coming, because it's not the year after, it's the year after the injury, not the year like coming off the injury. He would have a whole year in. I think he would be a nice steal. I know he's not really being talked about a lot in this draft, and that's fine with me. Totally fine with me. But if you can get him in the second round, in seventh round, and here's what I like about him. Like, he was tight end to Laporta, right? But he was going off that year. He was going off. He's great in run blocking. He can catch. Like, I mean, what more do you want? So if you don't, you know, go tight end super duper early, man, you probably can get a steal. He's my sleeper tight end in this draft.
I like where you have him, because you see what he could do. And again, if you want an outside zone tight end, Iowa wrote the book on it. And the couple games I watched him, one game I was like, dude, this is like a fourth round pick. Then I turned on Ohio State. And Jack Sawyer ate that dude's lunch the entire game. Mm-hmm. Like, and so like, hey, guess what? Jack Sawyer did that to a lot of people. Ohio State did that to a lot of people. But yeah, you're talking late day three guy. I love it. I'm going to stay in the Big Ten. I'm going to go with the Michigan guy. A convert, was a corner, then wide receiver, Khalil Mullins.
Okay.
I think that is a fun kind of Tyrone Tracy. I was big on Tyrone Tracy.
He was a linebacker and then turned to a running back.
He's big, man. 6'1", 226. You could add some weight to him. You know, it's special teams, all that kind of stuff. Like, I really just like what he offers. The thump, the body style, again, these bigger running backs.
Hard. He runs really hard. That's a good pick, too, because my only issues with him, he didn't partake in the Senior Bowl. He didn't partake in the combine. And so,
another injured guy.
But I don't remember what his injuries were because he wasn't injured.
Hmm.
So that's what has me scratching my head. That's why you don't hear me talking about him. But, you know, I know my Michigan guys. So I don't remember recalling him having an injury, you know what I'm saying, or anything like that. But he's a hard runner. He's a hard runner. They didn't run much outside zone at Michigan. But in between the tackles, in between, like, that's where he belongs. Like, that's him. Can he get to the outside zone? He does have the speed, but the thing I love about him is it's just low balance, man. That dude could get down, get low, and you can't tackle him. He's going to run through it. If you arm tackle, running through it. So you got to really put your pads on him. Good player. One and a half years at running back, though. He's converted linebacker to running back. So that could be a sleeper for sure.
I'm seeing a minor shoulder injury that does not require surgery.
That's why
but,
it was minor.
That's what I'm seeing. And okay. Dane Brugler talked about it in the end of January that it was minor, and he was supposed to be healthy. It was an in-game hit in the postseason game. So,
Okay.
And, man, there's a lot of guys that got hurt in that bowl game, games that didn't matter. Yeah. They matter. And
that's,
I know, we used to give
people
flack.
Sometimes players don't play in them, man. Like, sometimes players, they don't want to hurt their draft style, or they're trying to get ready for the Senior Bowl, or they're trying to get ready for the combine. So players will sit out those games. We've seen it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just going to do, again, seventh round running backs. I hope that's what the 49ers do. They're going to go earlier because Kyle Shanahan's Kyle Shanahan. But another guy out of Cal, Jaden Ott. I like him a lot. He's got a lot of
seventh round running back for you, too. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Dude, I could do this. I love this.
Me, too. Like, no one's talking about this kid from South Carolina, Raheem Sanders, right? You want top end speed, like 22 point something miles per hour is top end speed. Like, this kid's, he breaks tackles, yards after contact, averages probably close to 6 yards per carry. Like, this is a dude that would fit and could be a steal in the seventh round, to where you don't have to go. How is he in pass catching game? He's good. That's why the running back class is deep. It's deeper than what we think.
It's crazy. My comp for Raheem Sanders is a slower Derek McFadden. He's still fast, but he's not stride whenever you see him in the open field.
Wow.
Like, they got that short torso, but those freaking
long leg. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's him, man. Like, that top, once he gets to top gear, goodbye. Goodbye. He's got to get to it. And that's the thing, right? But I think he would be a nice fit for the San Francisco 49ers. So, I like these guys.
We draft a lot of South Carolina players, man. Tommy with the super chat. The Breezy Bunch. When does the TV show start?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, man. Tommy, what's going on, man? You should create some theme music for the show, too, by the way. I see your guitar out. Here's a wide receiver. We haven't talked about a lot of wide receivers on the show. I don't know where he's going to go in this draft. But if you want a faster version of Juwan Jennings,
ooh,
I got two players for you, right? One, Dante Thornton from Tennessee, and two, Nick Nash from San Jose State. Nick Nash, catch radius, John, that's your thing. I'm sure it's probably high up there in the air somewhere, to where he can come down with the pass just about anywhere you throw it to him. He has good speed, and he's great hands, and he has a crazy, like, missed forced tackle rate as a wide receiver. So when you hit him, good luck. You better bring his big ass down to the ground, because if not, you're going to miss the tackle. No one does that better than Juwan Jennings at 6'3". Like, I realize that Juwan Jennings, you think you're crunching him and you're hitting yourself and the other player, and he just falls out of that crunch and keeps it moving. Like, I like guys like that, man. I do. So I hope the Niners go with another big wide receiver. I think those are some of the players Brock Purdy likes to throw to, too. Feel like he just has more confidence throwing it to them. But Nick Nash, Dante Thornton from Tennessee.
Yeah, I like Nick Nash. He was a full-time quarterback throughout most of his career. So,
yes,
like,
correct.
I love guys that are used to having the ball in their hand, making decisions, and like those guys translate. There is a Juwan Jennings. It was a quarterback transferred to. I mean, yes, dude, that is spot on. I don't have a player comp yet. I haven't finished my write up on Nick Nash. So that is chef's kiss, my friend. That was impressive. Mm-hmm. This has been fun. And hopefully everybody walked away with a couple names and pairings and slots where they could kind of go. Yeah, right here in 40 hours, Josh. I've been slamming the table for Dante Thornton. He is a must for us.
He's 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", ran a 4.3. Like, you just throw it to him. Just throw it in the air. Like, just I don't – unless a player got a 70-inch vertical, they're not going to get it. Right, like, first of all, they got to keep up with him. No. I mean, I'm looking for mismatches, man. I'm looking for any advantage we can get. Now, the production isn't as great as some of the other wide receivers because I don't think Tennessee used their wide receivers right, and I don't think they used their running backs right. That's why I'm high on Dylan Sampson. They didn't utilize him in the pass receiving game like they should have. I bet you he's a better receiving back than he's projecting.
I hate that offense.
It's just spread them out.
It's the Briles, you know, yes. Run and shoot, whatever, which run is so shoot. Hard to translate yeah. to the NFL, but it's speed, simplicity.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time you grade those guys, it's go route, post route, slant route.
That's it.
Screen. You're running five routes, and
that's it.
Now the NFL is catching up to that. And those quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers are now starting to translate. They didn't used to, but now Mike Leach is somewhere smiling. Shout out to my man, Mike Leach. He's one of the greatest of all time. I just freaking love that dude. But he founded all of it. So it's what it is. The air raid lives true. Pat, you remember watching Pac-12 After Dark? I know you were East
Hell
Coast
yeah.
on a Fox Sports 1.
Yes, like, sir.
That's just what it reminds me of, man. Anyway, I freaking love it. Wade, this has been a blast. Always a blast. What do you have coming up? How do we support you better than we already do? Because, guys, Wayne gives us time every single week on this show, and I am so thankful. I learn, you learn. Support this man. What's going on in Wayne's world?
I appreciate that. Listen, I got tons of draft shows, some mock drafts. I break stuff down more on the Patreon, so if you guys want to subscribe to that, you can. It's patreon.com/TheWayneBreezy. But just follow me and subscribe and all that good stuff. I appreciate everybody out there. And here's what I love the most, right? I love the comments in the comments sections of every video. And I think people realize that, I think people think that I'm not going to respond, but I respond. I just want people to understand I will respond. Now, trust me, my tone isn't what you think it is when I'm writing it, but don't come for me because then I'm going to respond with that tone. But, you know, it's all love. I love it. So keep commenting. That is so cool. I love the discourse. I love to be able to go back and forth and we find a common ground or something like that, or not find a common ground. It's all love. I really love that. You know what I'm saying? That's what community building, that's what it's all about, right? Like, everybody has a perspective. Everybody has an opinion, and we can just kind of sit back and listen. You know,
I'm still learning. We're both learning. Everybody is. But like, I remember whenever I used to get my first like big time negative comments on Twitter or wherever else, it used to affect me a lot. Now, like, I can get people cussing me out and whatever else. And it's just like, all right, cool. Just not for me. Go find another Niner content creator that works for you. I hope that you have a great time. Like, again, I mean, I got cussed out this morning on Twitter, and it's just like, all right.
Really?
All right.
For what? Yeah. I got to know what happened.
I don't know. Somebody called me a punk or something
for a take?
No, just because I unfollowed somebody because they were making fun of people.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
They were kind of attacking others.
Don't entertain.
And so I was
that
like,
stuff.
Yeah, I entertained this. So then, you know, whatever, they get mad because you did follow them. And then they're like, why'd you stop following me? I was like, I just don't like how you attack people. So then their response is to attack me.
You took the bait. Hey, man, yeah, don't even sweat. I just like the comments. Like, I like when people call me like, kind of like, you know, they don't call me dumb, but they'll be like, this isn't reasonable. Listen, let me tell you something about my mock drafts.
Ooh, like, I love it. I love it.
When I mock draft, it's more like sometimes it'll be team based with I think the team is going to do. And sometimes it's going to be with the I want my team to do, right? Like, it's just a little different, right? Maybe I need to do a better job in explaining that. But when I traded Brandon Ayuk this week, one of the comments was like, oh, that's not realistic, whatever, whatever. I understand it. I'm not here for it to be realistic. If the computer wants to give me all their picks for Brandon Ayuk, I'm going to take all their picks. Nah, I'm not going to be. The computer says get. It's, and so I had to explain to him, listen, it's a computer. It's zeros and ones. They do what they do, and I'm just going to vibe and feed off of it. And so, you know, I got some great ass top 100 players. You know me. I want the best players in the first three rounds. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And I wouldn't be surprised, John, if that's the plan of the 49ers. Like, getting the best players they can get, as many as they could get, whether it's the four that they have or they could sneak an extra one there. I don't see them getting more than five. But if they could sneak an extra one in there, that would be so cool, man.
It does add pretty solid construction around that Jordan Mason trade. Like, man, we got to get closer to the top 100. We have to this draft. So they've got 100 guys they like. I know Wayne's got 100 guys that he likes. Oh, it's going to be fun. Wayne, thank you so much for your time. Take us out of here, my friend.
Hey, Faithful, you guys are geared up. It's 30 days to the NFL draft, and you get the greatest 49ers content right here on the 49ers Rush channel with John Chapman. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week, Faithful. More draft talk and 49ers talk, and we'll see you when we see you. Keep it faithful to the Bay.
Looking for your next Subaru? At Byers Airport Subaru, we give you options from start to finish. Browse and shop entirely online from the comfort of your home at ColumbusSubaru.com or stop by and visit one of our friendly brand specialists just by the airport.
During the Subaru A Lot to Love event, buy a new 2025 Subaru Forester for 3.9% for up to 48 months.
Whether you prefer to click or come in, we've got you covered. Your journey starts at Byers Airport Subaru. Come see why it's better to buy at Byers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 3/31/25.